This is a Hot Pie Original.
Hi, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show, where we work on building ourselves up to be our best versions and transform ourselves into that highest vision. And I'm so excited about our guest today, Cam Nelson. He is just such a wonderful person. I always enjoy talking to Cam. He's been a friend of mine for a few months. I haven't really known him for very long. And I always just feel like we align. And he has so many beautiful things to share. He's a slackliner and a highliner. So yeah, that's exactly what you think it is. And he has so much wisdom that he draws from what he does. And he's such a pro at it. It's badass. So I cannot wait to share that conversation with you today and get a little personal. So let's do this thing. And of course, we're always here to make our lives together rock as much as we can. And I'm just so grateful that you're here and that I'm here. I always like to start with a little bit of gratitude. So thank you so much. If you haven't gotten my newsletter yet, please go to amyedwards.com, sign up there. It comes once a week and I dive a little bit deeper on each subject each week and share anything else and meditations and any freebies that I have as well. So thank you for that in advance and let's get going. Good Life Clothing produces a line of ultra premium basics to ensure you always look your best while being your most comfortable. Yes, please. Good Life was developed by a team of fashion industry veterans who aim to provide the best fitting essentials from the finest materials made in the USA. So Good Life has opened a brand new and beautiful store in the Domain Northside right here in Austin. And I got to check it out recently. The staff was wonderful. The clothes were incredible. And it was just a beautiful space in general. So stop by their new Austin location when you can at the Domain Northside. And if you can't get there, you can go to Good Life Clothing. And use my code AMY20 to get 20% off your entire order. And again, you can shop online at goodlifeclothing.com or check them out at the Domain Northside in Austin. So look good and feel good. Good Life Clothing. Okay, here we go. Gotten word that we're ready to go. I'm going to light a little Palo Santo. I'm feeling nervous today. I'm usually not when I sit right here. And today I am. I think it's just because what I'm going to talk about is personal, which is that's nothing new. But yeah, I'm feeling a little nervous today. So yeah, I just lit this. I'm just trying to like slow down and tune in a second. And I encourage you to do that too. You know, just maybe breathe in and out. I'm telling myself this. And so you too. And just sit and breathe for a minute and just allow yourself to be in this space wherever you are, even if you're in your car, if you're on a walk, maybe you're just cooking dinner. I don't know. Just be in the moment with me and with yourself. You're showing up for yourself by doing this and being here, which is badass. So I'm going to talk about three different practices today before we get in with Cam, who is amazing. So, some of you may know that I've been going through personal drama in my relationship, my love relationship, and that has been a massive lesson in many ways. There felt like there was a lot of grief, and whether we continue on or not, when something comes to a close, you grieve that, you know? And I got these weird signs that there was grief coming. I drew a grief card. Two different books I had were talking about grief. And I was just like, what? And then, you know, suddenly I realized that the old way that we were was ending and it had to shift into something new, whether that's together or apart, right? So, that's what grief does. It's change and it's loss. And loss of the old, and how do we shift that? And so in one of those books I was reading, there was a practice in there that I didn't realize I was already doing. And so I wanted to share that with you when you experience some kind of loss or breakup or whatever it is that is affecting you. And, you know, we can meditate and all those things, but I need like some concrete steps and stuff to do. And so I was really glad to read this. So this is from Dr. Amen, Daniel Amen's, he goes by doc_Amen, I think. I'll put a link in the notes too, on Instagram. And his book is called Your Brain is Always Listening, which I think I've referenced before. Anyway, it's really good because it's really timely, and he's got a lot of it just came out. So he's got a lot of references about the pandemic and how our brain is functioning. And he talks a lot about these different dragons that we've got. And one of the dragons is grief and loss. And in there, one of his strategies, Cam and I talked today about ways that we can cope with things. And I think this was my coping strategy. I wrote, and I just wrote my thoughts. Sometimes I would even write a text message and then I'd be like, no, I'm not sending this. I would delete it, put it in my notes. And then I can go back and see my own progress. But one of the things that he says to do in there is to spend 15 minutes a day for 4 days, just writing straight, just writing, listing the positives and the negatives about whatever the loss and whatever the situation is. And you can write about, you know, your own feelings about it, things that you wish you had said, whatever it is, there's no rules. But if you can just sit down and write, the study was mainly about grieving. But grieving with a death. But I've found that with a breakup, I mean, it's so much like a death, you know, like you feel like this whole thing has just been ripped out from you, right away. And that's really, really challenging. And so it has helped all sorts of people's, like refugees, and it says adolescents deal with grief. It's known to decrease feelings of loneliness and help improve mood. And he said that they did a study, and I believe the study was, yeah, it was writing about bereavement and does it lessen grief. And so it's from a study in the year 2000. And people who wrote for 15 minutes a day, the control group just wrote about anything, but the other group wrote specifically about their loss and, you know, writing about the story, writing about their feelings specifically around that. And those who had written about the loss reported less anxiety and depression and greater grief recovery than those who had written about trivialities. And so he says also, as you're writing, include anything that was left unsaid or unfinished. And I know a lot of us journal and stuff, but sometimes we don't get that specific about it. So I just really wanted to bring that practice out because it helped me a lot. And you know what? I didn't even do it in a journal. I did it on my notes app on my phone. And so it's right there for me to refer back to, which has been kind of nice because I can see all the emotions right there that I was feeling, which was a whole range of them. And so you can, you can really work through some things. And I have to say, it made me feel a lot better. So there's practice number one, if you're experiencing something. And I just wanted to share that. And we all go through that stuff, seems like all the time, doesn't it? Number two. So as I investigated, you know, my role in this relationship change, I'll call it for now, I thought about my role in it. And, you know, you hear so much, at least, you know, we hear this because we're all reading these kinds of things, right? And it's like attracting what you fear, you know, what you resist persists. I've heard all that stuff so many times. And I think sometimes I forget it. And I ran across this quote. Y'all know I'm like totally into this book, Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It by Kamal Ravikant right now. And I'm almost done with it. So maybe I'll stop talking about it. Maybe I won't. So anyway, this is toward the end. And also, this is the revised version. It's a new revised and expanded version. So he's got a whole in section about a breakup that he had and how he returned to his self-love practices. But anyway, he stumbled upon a talk from Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer said, if you are what you think about, then you have to get real careful what you think about. So he goes on to say, if you want to attract what's good in your life, but you're talking about what's missing and you're thinking about what's missing, you'll continue to expand what's missing. So he says, I never talk about what's missing in my life. I only put my attention on what I intend to create. Well, as I was investigating, you know, what I was attracting and drawing into my own life, I really looked at my own fears. And my biggest fear in relationships is that someone will choose something unhealthy or, you know, substance or addiction or whatever it is over me, over our relationship. And that is basically what I attracted. And so I had to really sit with that because I was like, I'm putting it out there. I'm phrasing it in a way that is the fear. Like I'm basically inviting the universe to give me exactly what I'm talking about. I'm focused on not necessarily what's missing, but the fear. And so I had to shift it around. So this second practice I want to address today is just shifting those negatives, shifting those fears. Like where can we find those fears and really look at them for a second and then go, okay, you know what? I recognize that and I'm not going to attract that anymore. Now I'm going to shift it around and say, I'm attracting consistency. I'm attracting someone who shows up not only for himself or herself, but for me and for life in general. And how is that person showing up? And someone who shows up consistently and beautifully. Doesn't that just even feel better? It does to me. So I had to really like take a good look at that. So that second practice today is like, maybe we can find those spaces in our lives to shift those negatives around and those fears into something positive and what we really want to attract, what we're creating, not either what's missing or, you know, like, I don't know, someone who doesn't have a spiritual practice, you could say, or something like that. Well, that would be what's missing. You just say someone with a strong spiritual practice or whatever we're attracting in our own life, be it money or whatever, you know, just focus on what you're creating rather than the empty bank account. Focus on the full bank account that you're creating. So my third practice I want to address today too is as I talked about that fear, I realized I had other fears going on too. I had fear around my own, you know, security. And I really thought, how do you let go of fear? Like, how do you do that? I don't know. I had to sit with that for a while because I wasn't sure. And so what I thought of, you know, I thought about my past too and the other times that I've really faced some fears with things that I've done, like in music, even singing and getting in front of an audience and all that. Those were really scary for me. And I thought, how did I overcome that? Where is the common ground between like the insecurity I feel right now and those times or anything else that I've done that scared me? Taking a leap in podcasting, whatever it is. I thought, you know what it is? I think the way out of fear is to, yeah, acknowledge it, but at the same time is to show up for yourself, to show up for yourself in like a space of like mega self-love. And I think that's what I had to do even in music. I had to just be there for me and tell myself, you know what? You are doing what calls to your heart. You are showing up. You are vulnerable and beautiful. And I didn't always believe it, and that's okay. But I think if we can get stronger in those habits and really showing up for ourselves, really like being the one that we need, then that fear is dissipated. We are able to let go of the insecurities. We are able to let go of the doubt that so often accompanies fear and to get stronger in our own presence, you know, and know that everything's going to change. Everything's a big old unknown. Like, you know, you could walk out and get, you know, hit by something or lightning or whatever it is, you know, and like, we're not walking around scared of that. It could just happen. So just embracing this, this unknownness that we actually live with at all times. So I hope that gives you a little bit of perspective on how to let go of fear. Leaning into your self-love practices and knowing that you got you is the strongest way that I've learned. And a lot of it starts with our own thoughts. So just be there for yourself. Tell yourself what you would tell someone you love the shit out of, right? You're fucking awesome. You're awesome. You're such a badass. I think you're amazing. I'm saying that to you right now. So those are the things that I wanted to show up for you and share today from a vulnerable space. And yeah, I was nervous. I'm not so nervous now anymore. I am going to be back after my talk with Cam and share two more concrete practices. One that Cam and I talk about, and then I'm going to tack on to that a little bit too, something else that I've learned. Yeah, from that book. But it's a really beautiful thing and it's super, super simple. So stick around for that. And again, sign up for the newsletter if you haven't yet. It's at amyedwards.com. And I'm just so stoked that you're here. For these amazing conversations that I get to have too, for these incredible people that we have in this world and that I am just fortunate enough to chat with. So Cam is no exception. He's incredible. There are no exceptions, actually. Everyone's amazing. So Cam is amazing. He is a slackliner and a highliner and also a podcaster. He has a really badass podcast called The Line to Mastery. And he shares a lot about highlining and slacklining, which I find very interesting. And you can see him in practice on his Instagram at slackcamnelson, S-L-A-C-K-C-A-M Nelson. And he also is offering a program of mastery for professional athletes. So that's really cool. He's going to talk about that toward the end. But we get into so much depth and how slacklining and highlining are such a metaphor for being present in your own life, not worrying about the end result, but staying focused and getting balanced. And, you know, sometimes we fall off and we get back on. And I just love this guy and everything that he has to say. So I'm stoked to share this conversation with you. So let's get to it now and stick around till the end when I share a couple more practices. Yeah. So I try to light this. And that's one of the things I really liked about listening to your podcast is like, you're super intentional, you know? And, when I first started podcasting, I wasn't so intentional about it. And I feel like that's like a metaphor for my life. I feel like there's so many things I haven't been intentional enough about. And, so these I've tried to step back. And sometimes we're just in such a hurry that we don't get as intentional about it, you know? Yeah. I love that about yours.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've come to find that within the podcast, the space, because we're creating a container.
Yeah.
So to...
And you know, even that word is like kind of new to me. I don't even, you know, I'm not that familiar with it, but we are. What do you even define creating a container by?
Yeah. For me, it feels like we are creating... a conversation that goes beyond just the you and I speaking. So it's almost like a package that's being presented to other people.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I really appreciate reverence and treating life as ceremony and sacred and having all these mini ceremonies within the grand ceremony that is the life and the death of our existence here.
What took you coming into that though? Because I feel like it just takes time to get there because I feel like, you know, we're just rushing a lot.
Yeah.
You know, hard to remain intentional about it. Because you're pretty young. How old are you?
26.
26. Yeah. I mean, I would say to have that awareness is, you know, rare when you're 26. I know I didn't.
I would say the contrast, right? Having the experiences of not being reverent, of not treating life as ceremony and sacred, and then having models as well as experiences, reference points for yourself.
Yeah.
Where you have brought more reverence to life and treated it more sacred. And then seeing how I feel between those two and honoring that I feel better in one and then continuing to take steps in that same direction.
I feel so much better when I'm intentional about it, when I really think about it, when I sit, because you're present, you're like paying attention rather than rushing, you know? And that's probably what highlining and slacklining, you know, remind you of all the time, right? You can't get unpresent with that.
Otherwise you'll fall off the line.
Otherwise you fall off the line.
Yeah.
Which is a metaphor for life.
Yeah. So just to take a step back to answer your question about dropping into a podcast and you appreciating the way I drop in with my guests. Like, I love to do a little bit of breath work beforehand, mm-hmm. or if we have the opportunity to go and do an ice bath before we drop into the podcast, I think that's really sweet. And I've had some pretty cool opportunities because a lot of my guests have been highliners, to where we've been able to go and highline for half the day and then come back and record a podcast.
That's so cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah. I hope to build up to something like that. I'm not sure what mine would look like, but, you know, for now it's just lighting something. It's taking a breath and sitting in the moment and just feeling this space and not worrying about anything else, you know? And, so I don't think it always has to be anything else, but I think we're very aligned on how we look at our podcasts, like listening to yours, which of course is called Line to Mastery. You talked about not only mastering ourselves, but like vulnerability and healing in this space, which is totally why I do it. I figure like if I need to transform, then everybody else does too. So let's just do it together. But another thing that struck me was just how it took you getting confident in your own voice, because I've had such a journey to that in my own life. And I just found that really admirable, you know, to admit, oh, do I have something of value to say, you know, and then stepping into, yes, I do. You know, that's beautiful, Cam. It's not even a question, but, you know, I just want to recognize it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I received that. Yeah. And I figured what better way to hone in your voice than by dropping into a podcast and learning how to do it as you make mistakes.
Right. Yeah. Because you know how many people are afraid to even hear their own voice like recorded?
I used to everybody. All the time. Yeah. Especially when I hear feedback on the phone, like I'm on a phone call.
Oh my God.
It's the worst. It's so different than hearing yourself on a microphone. I don't know why that is, mm-hmm. but when I hear myself back on a phone call, like
I'm going to have to call you back.
Yeah.
I have to put the phone down. Yeah. It really is like you have to, how'd it go for you? How'd you push through that? You're just doing it.
So I initially started the podcast because I was going through this shit due to COVID and quarantine and a bunch of new mm-hmm. things happening.
Yeah, because you started what, just over a year ago, probably?
April.
Okay.
Yeah, April 2020. And I think I released maybe my first one. It was April 21st, 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had lost my job because of COVID. I moved into a new place with a new house with people that I didn't really know. And then I initially moved out to Austin to train on it. And then the gym closed. So my three forms of routine that I was used to having were completely thrown to the wayside. And I just slipped into coping mechanisms that I learned as a kid to feel safe when I didn't feel very comfortable at home.
Which was what?
Masturbating a lot, smoking a lot of weed, mm-hmm. social media, escaping on my phone with other forms of media. I even bought an Xbox just to play video games.
Yeah.
And a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
And that was...
Which everybody's done all those, no doubt. They're really admitting it. Yeah.
No doubt. I'm just willing to like put myself on the forefront and speak about it because I figured that's the way I'm able to transform through it, as well as give other people permission to speak about their own shit.
And same here.
We can normalize the things that we use to cope as a way to alchemize them and eventually transform the ways we cope.
Beautifully said.
So that's what I went through. And then I had a shower thought, you know, an idea while I was in the mm-hmm. shower, like, oh, this is the time that I can make a podcast. I actually have no reason why I can't do it anymore. And then I essentially set up my closet to be a little studio space that I had, nice little walk-in closet. And mm-hmm. my first four episodes, I decided to have a solo cast because I figured if I couldn't sit in front of a microphone and find comfort within that by myself, then how would I be able to do that with someone else? And looking back,
I applaud that.
That's not necessarily a mindset that I entirely believe in because I know even if I were to just start recording podcasts with people, I would figure it out.
Yeah,
I didn't need to do a solo cast yet. That's what I decided to end up doing. So my first four episodes were by myself.
Yeah. And it's a push. You know, I've had things happen with this one where I've been sort of just life just pushed me into doing a solo cast. And I was like, okay, I just have to step in and do it and have the confidence that that's what I'm supposed to be doing right now, you know? So good for you, because it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I don't like to use the word hard. It's challenging. It's a push.
It was difficult for sure. And what made it extra challenging was this whole idea that it needed to sound perfect. So I was able to drop that idea and just focus on good enough. So with my solo cast, I would write a little bit of a script and then just follow the script, as well as like let some things flow out as far as ideas go, just to really fill out the podcast. And then from there, edit it to where it was good enough and then just let it go on to the next one.
Yes. And you know, I did that for like a whole year with a different podcast that I was doing. And you get so good at it that now I can just sit here and talk, you know, like, and I'm sure you are now too. And it's just practice. It's just that practice thing. So I'm very impressed by what you do. I just feel like listening to you, and every time we've ever talked, I just feel like very aligned, and like everything you say really speaks to my heart and how I view things. So I'm stoked to have you here in the studio today. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for doing it.
You're welcome. Yeah. And thank you for having me. When we were talking about this in Costa Rica, at the Fit for Service Summit, and you said, yeah, I would love to have you on a podcast. Like, already we're having conversations that just feel so good.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about. Probably slacklining and your philosophy around it and, you know, what it brings to the world, which I found so cool. So, I mean, I'd love to share some more about that, because it's very new to me. Like, I don't know enough about it, but I know you view it as like a next Olympic sport, and right?
Yeah, eventually. I see it as being a tool that's going to help humanity evolve.
I love that.
On so many different ways, especially for those that feel called to pick up a line and give it a shot.
Because you've been doing it for how many
years? 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started when I was in 20 in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Cool. Yeah. And I mean, I tried it once with you, but I'm not very good yet. But, you know, it was my first time. So like, just like anything else, right? It just takes some time and practice. And I love that you use that as a metaphor for life and mastery in itself. What is mastery even? I mean, as I was listening to your podcast, I mean, I get the gist of like, it means mastering yourself. But as you've developed in the last year or so since that, how do you feel about the word mastery?
I feel,
or in your life,
pretty damn good about the word mastery still. Yeah, for sure. For me, mastery is just becoming the best version of yourself and whatever you feel.
Totally agree.
That is, you want to apply it to, you know, we can find mastery in so many different things in this life. And for me, highlining and slacklining, finding mastery in that is just such a unique
opportunity. What does mastery really look like though?
In regards to slacklining or highlining?
I don't know. However you want to approach it. Okay. Maybe in slacklining.
Yeah. So I guess with slacklining and where I want to take the sport, mastery is being able to set down the ego and the voices and chatter within your head to just have optimum flow state when you're in your performance. And I feel, from the outside looking in, when somebody else sees mastery, they stop, they slow down. They're so mesmerized by watching someone be in their zone of genius and their zone of mastery that it's kind of difficult to do anything else. Like, if you've seen any street performers possibly that you're just like so transfixed by, I feel that's a state of mastery. Even when we were at the live podcast performance with Evan and Justin, I feel like they were in a state of mastery as well. And everybody's just so tuned in to the conversation that's happening.
I guess I think that sometimes that word can be loaded with some kind of ego, you know, and they're like, I'm the master, you know what I mean? And so I like that you phrased it like stepping out of that ego, because I think I'm really into everything just being a little bit paradoxical right now. So there's like a little bit of a paradox in it. It's like stepping away from that ego, stepping away from feeling like the I am a master thing in order to achieve mastery. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would even say the greatest masters are those that still honor that they're students throughout the whole process.
Yeah. Right.
Even as they're teaching others, like people will come up to me and say, whoa, you're the slackline master. And I don't feel that way at all. I still feel like a student of the game. You know, my nervous system just understands how to do it a little bit better than others because I'm more practiced.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's good. What are your daily practices like? What do you do all day?
Yeah. So to start off the day, I will wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Good start, right?
That is, you know what?
The most important start. Yeah. Hydrate, drink some spring water. I also have
no caffeine
later on. Not the first thing.
Okay. I'm giving up caffeine for a while. So
beautiful. Do you drink any cacao?
Not usually. No, but I might.
It might be a good transition if you're looking to step away from coffee.
Cool.
And I've been utilizing this thing to reprogram my subconscious mind, which is...
Tell me more. I'm all about it.
It's called an upward spiral guide where you craft out your ideal character. Like,
where'd this come from?
You desire to become.
Did you make this up?
No.
Okay.
I've added my own flair to it. I got it from this coaching program called Online Coach Accelerator. And that's like the first module. And what they do in Online Coach Accelerator is they take coaches, help them really hone in their ideal client avatars, their niches, their high ticket programming, their marketing, their sales, everything. So that, it's a lot of work. So I got the upward spiral guide from them. And then you craft out what the character traits are of your ideal character, who you want to become in this lifetime, what their beliefs are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what your manifesto is, as well as like your goals and your visions for the future. And then all of that I wrote out, I spoke into my microphone and then I laid binaural beats underneath it. And then I put a song at the beginning and at the end that puts me into a higher state, like an elevated emotion, elevated state of emotion. And then, it's like 21 minutes long and 17 seconds. And I'll just like put in my headphones right when I wake up, sometimes even before I drink my water, still lay in bed, play that, and then just receive myself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to do this. Because I already do stuff like that. I'm like super into that. I've been listening to my own voice, building my own self-trust for like the last year and a half. I started at the beginning of the pandemic and like I use an app for it, but I'll make my own meditations. I don't always use binaural beats because I need happier music. But this is badass. And it's called Upward Spiral
Guide
because you're guiding yourself.
Yeah. So the idea is like, if you were to slip up on something, you might go into a downward spiral. So for me, maybe if I were to smoke weed at night, then I would downward spiral into eating junk food. Whereas like if I upward spiral, I listen to this and then I'm more likely to leave that and then go into the yoga studio that we have in our living room and start my movement practice and then start my breath work and then maybe reflect with some journaling and then just a little bit of reading. And then that's how I start my day.
I love that term. You know, I'm like, I'm just as of today, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and really like get my own upward spiral on just taking your term. Because sometimes it's so easy to just feel one setback like early in the day and then your day is fucked and you're like, or you feel like it is, right? And you can't recover and get back upward. So yeah, are you such a master? You don't have days like that. Cause I still do.
I definitely still have days like that. And I've come to find that, let's say I downward spiral for a few hours. Mm-hmm. What's most important is honoring that, like, okay, maybe I only have a few more hours of productive time during the day. Let's pivot.
Yeah.
And let's capture the momentum that I have and transition what felt like chaos into something else creative.
That's good. No, I mean, that's so impressive because I can get there sometimes, but sometimes I can't, you know, but sometimes it's just a matter of like, I love to meditate. So I'm like, okay, if I can just put on, you know, anything like a sound or headphones or anything, or one of my meditations that I've made, if I can just sit down and do it, that'll maybe shift that into more upward or something like that. What's been some of your biggest challenges though, as you've grown into this?
Starting my day with a phone.
Fuck yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Oh, so another thing, before I go to bed, I have my phone on airplane mode.
Okay.
Biggest life hack.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that way, when you wake up, if you need your phone for alarm, go for it. I use my phone for the upward spiral guide. It's on my Google Drive. So I still kind of use my phone when I start the day, but I don't have all of the dopamine from notifications.
Yeah.
coming through. And I noticed that, like, if I downward spiral throughout my day, it's because I started my day with the phone.
Ooh.
Every time.
That's a good life hack.
Every fucking time.
Really?
Really.
Man, we all need to pay attention to that. I was just reading something. I'm reading this book, Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. But one of the things he said in there, he was talking about different depressants. And he was like, listed social media as a depressant. And I was like, huh, I never thought of it like that. You know, he was like talking about alcohol, whatever else. And I was like, wow. I mean, but kind of like, I get it. It can be very uplifting, you know, but overall, it's a giant time suck. And doing what you said. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've done it too many times.
I feel like when I spend too much time on social media, it brings me down. Like there's mm-hmm. a threshold of where it's like uplifting and inspiring. And then once I pass that threshold, it's just like downward spiral.
How much time do you spend on it?
If I'm like really down, it could be like 4 hours.
Yeah. Hours.
But if I'm like really present throughout my day in my life, it's like maybe 30 minutes.
Nice. That's good.
And I notice I feel the best when I create and I upload stuff on social media, and I feel my worst when I consume.
Me too. I'm right there with you. I totally agree. I hope people can take that away today. Cause even today I was like, I had you coming in today kind of early. And so I needed to get a lot done. Plus I'm trying this new program called 75 Hard. So it's like 75 days of really mental toughness is what it's honing. And so I just got up and really like didn't have even time. Like it wasn't really an option to stare at my phone today. Cause you know, and that I feel great and I didn't have any caffeine and I feel great. And I think that I don't know. I wasn't really linking the two, but I'm going to definitely limit that and just see. I think it's a good experiment, right?
Yeah. So the thing is, when we start the day off with like notifications and dopamine, it mm-hmm. sets the tone for our brain to be a lot more distracted, to not be able to focus as well. So we're hopping from like one form of dopamine to the next form of dopamine to the next form of dopamine. And then by the end of the day, you're feeling like so burnt out. And maybe you've had to like stimulate yourself with coffee and caffeine and all different ways to actually elevate your energy because you've just opened yourself up mm-hmm. to these things that take away your energy.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you know what? I was talking to Sky King. Do you know Sky?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was talking
listened to the podcast with the two of you.
How good was that?
It was so good. Many good takeaways on podcasting.
Like, God, he's talk about somebody as a master. But we were talking separately from that one day. And he was just talking about social media and podcasts. And he was saying like, this isn't necessarily your podcast audience. You know, he was like, it's, you know, it's going to be separate from that. And I was like, God, we get so wrapped up, I think so many times. And like, this is my only outlet of like, who's listening and connection to my audience and that kind of thing. And I just want to encourage people to not hang everything on social media, I guess is what I'm getting at, you know, because it's really easy to feel like that's our only way to connect so many times, you know, like that's the only place to put something. Yeah. I mean, which I felt like a million times, you know, like how else am I going to spread the news, you know, or whatever, but we have to trust that, you know, our voices are going to be heard in other ways too.
Yeah. And also honoring that there's going to be new platforms and ways in which we can distribute mm-hmm. our message that haven't even been established or invented or revealed yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we're focused on the long game, like, yeah, Instagram is this thing that we're able to use right now, but mm-hmm. in 2 years, maybe Instagram isn't the thing anymore.
Yeah. Ooh, I bet slacklining and highlighting is a really good way to make sure you're not focused on, like you're focused on the long game, but you're so present in the moment of, you know, because one thing I've been working on with this podcast is, you know, I have goals and all this. Do you have on your Oura ring too?
Yeah. cool.
Yeah. I know like I want to grow it and I get excited about that and the end, you know, game or whatever that I don't even know what that would be exactly, but my goals. And instead, you know, I'm like, this is part of it. Can you enjoy these times right now where you're still working to find sponsors, where you're still, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, just the small steps.
Yeah.
Like your small steps.
Yeah. So if you can already see and feel your future and what you're capable of becoming, then that's already a potential possibility and reality for you.
100%.
So continuing to tap into that and then honor that, like, this present moment mm-hmm. is part of the process of who you get to become. And if you listen and witness a lot of people that focus on success or like have reached the states of success that they want to be in, they're always saying that they wish they enjoyed the process more because they end up where they want to go anyways. Yeah. So even Aubrey mentioned this, if he could tell himself like 15 years ago, any form of information or advice, it would be find a way to enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been working on, you know, and I'm like, just value these things for exactly what they are. And, but yet you keep taking the steps and, it's challenging sometimes, you know, like, you know, you get kind of distracted with, but I want it to be like this. No, I'm ready for whatever. And, I'm just trying really hard to pull back. And I've been reading a lot of Abraham Hicks. Do you ever read Abraham Hicks?
I listen to her more than I read her.
She's great, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all about that. It's like the creation, but living in the moment. And you're so good at that.
So that's the thing. Like God, source, the universe, whatever word you want to put beyond it, is going to write the story of your life better than you could possibly write it yourself. You know, mm-hmm. growing up, I never thought that I would be highlining and walking in the sky. And at 17, I declared to the universe that I was going to live an epic life. I had no idea what that was going to look like, but that was my declaration. And now I have the opportunity to walk in the sky. I've been doing it for 6 years mm-hmm. and it's completely changed my nervous system, the way I perceive the world, my philosophy. You know, like to scoot out onto a big high line that, let's just imagine a football field long, because I feel like that's something that most people can visualize a little yes. bit better.
Okay.
So a football field long, and starting at one end zone, right? Is that where people get touchdowns? I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So starting on one end zone and looking at the other end zone and honoring that it doesn't matter how many times you fall on this 1-inch bridge, you're going to get to the other end zone. You're willing to pick yourself back up as mm-hmm. many times as necessary to stand, to take steps, to miss steps, slip off the line, get caught by your harness and leash, which is like 3.5 to 5 feet long.
Yeah.
So you're hanging underneath the line and you still are willing to get yourself back up and try again until mm-hmm. eventually get to the other side. Like that. That's one of the best metaphors I've been able to find for life. And it's a physical practice.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's so cool. I love hearing you talk about that. It makes so much sense, you know, and it's so cool what it's shown you in your life.
Hmm. It's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it is funny. Like we never could have predicted where we are right now. Mm-hmm. I never would have predicted things about my life. It's way better than I imagined. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like back in November, I didn't see myself in fit for service. And then in December, I applied and I didn't have the money at all. And I told Claire that. And she said, it's $500 to save your seat. I happen to have a check for $500. I put it down.
Wow.
And then I was able to crowdfund and get resourceful for the rest of it.
Nice. That's right. That's about creation. I was going to mention this in my intro, but I was just reading something today about like Wayne Dyer said that, you know, it's about focusing not what's missing, but what we're creating all the time. And, you know, sometimes I get kind of glass half empty. And so I've been just working hard on focusing on what I'm creating, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's any book that I could recommend to all humans
yes,
out
please.
There, Psycho-Cybernetics.
Okay. I've never even heard of that. Psycho, you write that down. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's all about mindset and
Psycho-Cybernetics,
the program of success and how we work. And
who wrote it?
That's a great question.
Did you listen to it or do you read it?
I wrote it. I read it. Yeah.
You're like, I wrote it. I know it so well. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's all about what though? Tell me.
Our internal guidance systems and mm-hmm. success mechanisms. Mm. And most of us, all of us actually, when it comes to success and getting to where we want to go, what's most important is to focus on the why and not the how. Because the how is what the universe figures out, you know, and maybe the how comes in the form of someone just telling you a message that you needed to hear in the exact moment that you needed to hear it. But it took you taking a step back from trying to figure out how it's going to work out for that how to come through. And then another really big takeaway that I want to share from psycho-cybernetics is how we have this internal guidance system that is much like a torpedo, where a torpedo is degrees off of where it's going to end up the whole time it's on its way to its destination until it finally reaches its destination and hits its target. So
for real?
For real.
Good Life Clothing speaks to how we live now, because while we might not be dressing up, we still want to dress well. Good Life is American made from the finest, highest quality materials, and their core collection of premium essentials keeps you looking good and feeling great. And I am speaking from experience. I have worn their clothes and they're amazing. Good Life just opened a new store right here in Austin too, at the Domain Northside. So you can stop by that Austin location and get 20% off your entire purchase using the code AMY20. That's A-M-Y 20. And that code is also valid on your entire order online as well at goodlifeclothing.com. Again, that's goodlifeclothing.com. And the code is AMY20. Elevate your game with Good Life.
So that's the beautiful thing about, about this life, is like you can be on track with where you want to go and still feel like you're a little bit off, but you're still in that same direction. And it won't take until you're actually supposed to be right there that you will course correct perfectly on target.
That's really comforting.
Yeah. So those days that you feel like you're in a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Is an opportunity to just course correct a little bit and just get a few degrees back on target to tune yourself back to the instrument of who you choose to be.
I love that. I'm going to read it. Yeah. I have a stack of books going all the time. Do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, of course.
How do you read? Do you read a little bit all the time of all of them, or do you like pick one and read it? And then
honestly, it depends on the book. I would say both.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say predominantly I will pick from a few because I like seeing, the common threads between them. But then there's some books that it's just like, I'm in this book, I'm going to read the whole thing through. And most of these other books are not going to be picked up until this one is done.
Yeah. I rarely meet that book, but I just had that happen. But mostly same. It's like, yeah, really? What was it?
The Essential Revolution.
I've never even heard of it. What is it?
Might be Essential Evolution, something like that. My friend, Jay, shared this book with me. And Jay's great. He works with his company Entreperform, where they take entrepreneurs and help them dial in their nutrition, their mindset, their training with a community of other high level male entrepreneurs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're great, based out of Austin. Anyways, the book is all about this one guy that has been through so much pain and ends up being the voice of the divine for the rest of humanity to wake up. And then he ripples out just these beautiful lessons from the pain that he has experienced in his life. I don't want to like give too much of the book,
cool.
But I highly recommend everyone read it.
So it's like a novel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a bit more of a story with a lot of spiritual lessons and activations within it.
Do you write much? Do you write a lot?
Journaling? Yeah.
Yeah. Every day?
I would say like four times a week.
Four times a week? That's good. I haven't been journaling as much. I felt like I was a broken record a little bit. And so I've just been doing a gratitude journal. But in my intro today, I'm talking about some writing. That's why I asked. I was just curious what your writing practice was. And I'm just curious about all your practices, like, because I'm just always looking to get stronger in my own habits. And I know everyone that listens to this is too, like, we're all searching for, you know, ways that we can optimize ourselves. And I liked that. I listened to your first podcast and you said something about
my very first podcast.
I sure did.
On the Why Even Make a Podcast podcast. Wow. Sure did. Cool.
I did. I wanted to hear what you said. And I really liked it. You did great, by the way. Like for your first podcast, I thought it was really, really good. And I'm picky, but
thank you.
You're welcome. But I thought that, you know, you were looking at your life and thinking about being known for how much you give, and you were like, up till now I'm not sure I would be, and you were like, and known for how you show up in the world, and that really spoke to me, and like that's the type of person I want to be. And I guess I want to ask if that, like, that bit and the part about your how, are those things that are in your like thing that you listen to every morning, your personal manifesto and meditation? Like, are those in those in the morning? Like your how and your,
yeah,
I'm going to show up.
I would say the evolution of it, and not necessarily the how, but who I get to be.
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to the character that
who I get to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to focus on character traits and the feeling of being that person in the being, not so much the how, because the how figures itself out once you figure out the beat. Mm-hmm. So
I have one of those. I wrote one, like a long one, like a year ago, of like my whole morning. And I just envisioned my whole morning, like what that looks like. And, like how I felt and what I was looking at and the smells and everything. And I recorded it, you know, to just, and I listen back to it all the time. And like, I have no idea that like how it's going to get there.
Yeah.
But that's right. You were saying the why, not the how. I was asking, is your why in there? That's right.
Sorry, 100%. Yeah, it is. So mm-hmm. part of my manifesto is like the things that I've accomplished in this lifetime and what it feels like to accomplish those things.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
So too. That I get that feeling.
Okay.
And then going into Joe Dispenza's work, like a lot of these people are experiencing healing when they're super sick by simply just feeling what it feels like to be in a healed body with a healed mind, and then continuing to show up and do that work. And then people are transforming and healing through it. And that can be applied to not even just sick people, but people that want to manifest and create their ideal life.
Yeah.
The body is like it's like a radio for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you tune yourself to that frequency and what that frequency feels like, then you're going to call that into your external world.
So wild.
Yeah. And the brain and the body don't know the difference between the external reality and the internal reality. So if you can live your ideal external reality in your internal first, then your external reality is going to, it's going to transform for it.
That's the things I've been learning. Like that's that part of that paradox, you know, it's like, that's just one of the many, you know, and things like, you know, you're not really going to be loved until you love yourself and you feel it inside and all these things. Right. So, I don't know. Are you doing that all the time? Like, what's it look like when you falter? I just know. I just feel like I'm just not there, you know? I'm like, and it's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, there's moments where I feel like I'm not there too, you know? I think
I almost start crying right
now.
I just feel like
anyone sitting in this chair right now.
I don't know.
And they're going to state things that they want in their future and feel like they're not there. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
I know.
You know?
I know. I hope people can take that away, because like people probably look at me and think, you know, oh, she's doing it. But I'm like, I'm not that great at it. And I just keep trying to get better. But even saying I'm not that great at it frustrates me, because I don't want to even have those words come out of my mouth.
Yeah. I would say behind a microphone, you are a master and there's still room for improvement.
Always,
always, you know, like you come to get really good and master one discipline, and then you realize the other disciplines that you were kind of working on have slipped up a little bit, and then you work on those. And then that one that you were mastered, like it, the experience has fallen back just a little bit from where it was. So there's always opportunities to grow and learn. And that's a beautiful thing. With neuroplasticity and our understanding of the brain now, and how it doesn't just stop growing at 25, but it can continue to grow and transform and evolve over the course of our whole lifetimes. Like, we're going to be able to do things way older than we thought we would be able to, way older than our parents, because we have access to this information and what it takes to be, a well-optimized, well-rounded human being. You know, like, I want to be making art in my 60s. I want to be highlining still into my 80s, at least.
Hell yeah.
You know, the oldest tightrope walker was 88. And that's something that I keep reminding myself.
That's is so like, cool.
I'm in this for the long game. Mm-hmm. And I don't entirely know what that looks like. It's hard to even see, like, who I'm going to be when I'm 30, you know?
Right.
Let alone double or triple that. So there's no need to sweat about that right now. Mm-hmm. And same thing with, like, where you're at. You're doing fucking great. Like, look at everything in your life.
I know you have to step back sometimes and take stock, because like, I think, you know, I get tied up in holding myself to a certain standard, and I have perfectionist tendencies, and I have to, it takes work for me to let those go and to not do that. And I just,
I don't know, like you said, you know, in yours, just being honest and vulnerable is where it's at, because that's what is going to help people know we're all in it together.
Yeah. And a good thought practice is Amy 2 years ago was probably dreaming about where Amy is today.
Amy 1 year ago was. Yeah. And the same with Cam. I mean, like, look how far you've come.
Big time. Especially just a year ago, you know, Cam a year ago was having a really difficult time. Whereas like Cam right now is still having a difficult time, but it's transformed. It's become a little bit more sophisticated, and Cam now has way more tools, way more support. The community that Cam was calling in his heart, desired, you know, and like, we're just getting settled in this community. Really, you know, we haven't been with each other for years.
Yeah.
It feels like it in a way, because our souls have known each other, but in the physical, it's been months, maybe a year for some people.
And you said you're still having a difficult time. So you like recognize that you're still having a difficult time, but you just have more tools to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure.
What's your difficult time?
I would say still the phone. And I just have a lot on my plate. So I don't always have the best time taking a step back and dealing with stress in what feels like a healthier way. Sometimes, like even yesterday, I slipped up, spent way too much time on my phone, like smoked some weed, felt really bad about all that because I was coming into this podcast with you and I wanted to like really hold a sacred container
and be able to show up about it the best way I can. Served in a different way that you didn't expect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is how these things transform. To where we can alchemize the pain that we experience into medicine for others. And that Absolutely. Really comes down to being able to express and be vulnerable about what's real for us. Yeah. So yeah, I was just feeling a lot of power and beauty from this trip that I had in California this past week. Yeah. And then I came back and I just, from all that high, I just swung to a low, and now I'm in a position of course correcting and finding more balance within it. Exactly.
There's the balance. Yes. Okay. We wanted to talk to you about seeking discomfort. I was really struck by something Aubrey said. And of course, when we reference Aubrey, it's Aubrey Marcus, who is the leader of Fit for Service. And it was in his latest email, he said something about, are you going to be, awesome, or are you going to be comfortable, you know? And like, I was like, well, fuck that. I want to be awesome, you know? But I recognized so many times, like you did yesterday, and I did it several times this weekend, because I had a really, really tough last couple of weeks. And so, you know, I had to go easy on myself, but I've recognized those moments where I was like seeking comfort and, you know, laying on the couch, watching TV, eating Takis. And so, which I did. And that's okay. You know, we have those moments and we have those downs, but like we course correct. And so, you know, I love that you're wearing a shirt that says seek discomfort, which I've seen on you several times. It's a company, right? Or yeah.
Yeah. So it was established, initially by this group of YouTubers called Yes Theory, and their whole ethos was seek discomfort and going out and trying things that would initially like just make your nervous system freak out, make you stop and be like, I don't know about that. I think I might die if I do that, you know?
I feel like that every time I do an ice bath.
And then, yeah, exactly.
Every time.
So that's a great form of seeking discomfort, you know, pushing through something and then becoming a better person through it and seeing that, oh, actually this didn't kill me. It only made me a little bit stronger.
Well, that's where your comfort zone expands.
Exactly.
Obviously, right?
Exactly.
When you can push through and seek the discomfort and, I'm trying to reconfigure my brain to make it like happy to seek discomfort. Like tell myself like, that's fun.
There's growth that comes from seeking discomfort. You get to redefine your limitations, you know?
Yeah.
Like the person that you dream of becoming, that you feel like you're far off from, is the one that has been able to break through their limitations, you know?
Yeah.
So every time you break through your limitations, you're able to step closer into that person that you know you're capable of being and embodying.
Do you envision that person? I do. Like I do some vision work where I envision that person.
Every day.
Every day. That's in your morning thing.
Yeah. It's in my morning thing. And
how old are you there? Indiscriminate age, generally older.
Yeah. I don't have a biological age for that.
Okay.
But I know what he feels like.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I do in mine either. I don't think I have an exact biological age in mine. She still looks good.
Yeah. Or chronological age, actually. That's the proper terminology. Yeah, but either way, like I know what that person feels like, and I know what it'll feel like when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had tastes, you know, yet I'm still in this process of like unlearning and reprogramming a lot of things that I learned as a kid.
Like what?
From my folks as well as society. Just comfort, safety, security, a lot of fear, coping when things get difficult, as opposed to expressing your emotions and what's real for you and having the conversations. That's something that I wasn't modeled as strongly as I will model for my kids.
Yeah, that's good. I've been hearing the word coping a lot lately. I just feel like it's coming up and I'm noticing it in other people, and I'm wondering about myself and what my own coping strategies are, and just trying to pay closer attention to that. It's just an interesting word because I don't know. I don't feel like it's been used enough, or maybe it's just coming into my field of vision. I don't even know what my parents' coping strategies were. That's interesting to think about, like what we're taught.
Yeah, I would like to spend some more time with my mom's coping strategies and seeing what I learned from her, but I definitely know my dad's. That's been really the most prevalent.
Really?
Yeah.
And you did a podcast with your dad. Did you talk to him? Is he like you? Is he like real open and
not as emotionally open?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. He's really open when it comes to logic.
Oh.
And connecting with his mind. Yeah. When it comes to like connecting with his heart, there's some work to do there.
Right. So maybe that's a coping strategy too, is, you know, we close our hearts a little bit, and that's a defense mechanism / coping strategy. Probably. I know that I do it, and I have to like tap right in and recognize when my heart closes up and like how that feels in my body, and to consciously open it back up. Can you feel it when your heart closes?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can feel when my heart opens, you know, like I can feel those polarities. And I also feel I'm a lot more emotionally intelligent because I saw a model of what it was like to not be emotionally intelligent and how that manifested into a lot of the pain that my dad experienced.
Aww.
And I decided that's not what I wanted to experience.
But that's good. That's using that kind of stuff for good, for our own learning. Like you said, alchemizing it. Love that word.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I firmly believe that my soul chose to do the dance with my dad's soul for the necessary lessons that it was going to provide as I continue to step forward in the world and show up as a leader, because emotional intelligence is invaluable, in my opinion.
I agree. It really is. Yeah. You know, that we choose who our parents are and stuff is such a trip to me. You believe that?
Yeah. I mean, like I feel it so viscerally in my body. And because of that, it's difficult for me not to believe it is truth.
Really?
I'm very embodied though. Highlining has taught me that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I feel like I process and experience a lot of things through my body, especially energy. Like I'm able to move a lot of energy through my body.
Cool.
Whereas I know quite a few people that I haven't connected deeply with their body. So like a lot of the energy that they have in their system is stuck because they're not able to move it through. Whereas like I've had this opportunity with this sport and other practices outside of it, but definitely this sport to, yeah, move that energy and ground it down.
I do a lot of stretching and stuff like that. I'm doing like one of those fascia stretching sessions tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see what comes out.
Who are you sitting with?
The Voila people.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you done it?
Yeah.
Oh God. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So I'm probably at like 21, 22 sessions now with
Holy
Kim.
Holy cow. Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, tomorrow's my number one.
So. Yeah. If you can, reach out to her, request to do the fascial stretching and a session of Voila. See if she has an extra hour. If you have an extra hour, just double dip. Do both.
Oh, okay. I will. I'll send a message. Oh my God. I hope she can.
Highly recommend. Yeah. And I when I heard Sky, I heard Sky mention Kim.
Yeah.
On the podcast with the two of you, I was like, yeah, all right. It's only a matter of time before Amy does some Vlog. It's completely changed my life.
The appointment like that day.
Yeah. It's completely changed my life.
Change your life. How?
So the really cool thing about Vlog is Kim is using muscle body testing to go through the skeletal system and realign the skeletal system. And sometimes there's structural imbalances, but also like emotional trauma and spiritual trauma can come up. And you'll have to process that in real time. So like I've dealt with Cam in the third trimester in his mom's stomach. I've dealt with 6-year-old Cam a lot. I've dealt with 17-year-old Cam, 23-year-old Cam, 21-year-old Cam, present Cam, future Cam. Like all these versions of myself that have experienced traumatic experiences, I've been able to move through that, process that trauma with someone by creating a different perspective in which they're able to perceive that trauma and understand why it came through for them.
Does that version of you come up and surprise you, or do you call it up?
I would say in the sessions, my highest self is working with Kim's highest self. So on a conscious level, I'm not necessarily bringing it up.
Okay.
But on like a deeper soul level, no doubt it's coming up for me.
Okay.
Because that makes sense. I chose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, cool. I'm glad we talked about that. Okay. Well, I'll try to book that. I'm sure I'll be like totally into her and want to have her on the show or something. So it sounds amazing. Is there anything that we missed that you want to talk about before we start to wrap up? Anything you like felt called to hit on today?
How do you redefine your limitations?
How do I redefine my limitations? Mm-hmm. By pushing myself to do things that I think I couldn't do otherwise, but I know I can do them, but I push myself regularly. And, what does that look like in practice? I mean, a lot of times it looks like, you know, showing up for these shows and staying really present and focused. That pushes me past my limitations. I think right now I've got a lot of, mind stuff that I'm still trying to overcome. And I think I push past my self-imposed limitations just sheerly by cultivating practices and leaning into those more often than not, and still trying to go easy on myself when I don't. But I think that's really what's pushing me past my limitations right now. And I consider it an experiment. I've been just kind of on that track, just calling things an experiment. Like, okay, what if I do it today, you know, or a week? And I just think, even if I don't think I believe it, you know, I just have gotten the camp of thinking like, I don't care if like, I'm like, that's so far-fetched or something. I'm just going to tell myself that anyway, until I do believe it, because, sometimes it's hard for me to get to that belief space. So I just keep running the grooves in my mind. Like self-love, for instance, is probably a good example, you know, and I just keep telling myself, and now it's second nature. And now I've noticed that I really do. And I think I've felt like a self-imposed limitation in that. And I think that, I push myself past limitations in, physically, like I, you know, I'm going to be 49. And I think that a lot of times women in particular, or anybody at this age, can put a lot of like, I can't do that. I'm too old. And I'm like, I'm not going to say that ever. You know, I'm like,
yeah, please don't.
Yeah. So I think that there's societal, you know, like, limitations, like, or, you know, ideas around that or our culture. And, I try very hard not to subscribe to those. And I think that I've already done it so much in my life that a lot of times I can look back and go, you know, I already did that, so it'll be fine. And I think if we can look back at our lives, a lot of times we've overcome a lot of things. And I would encourage people to maybe write those down, right? Write down the things that you've already overcome. And then you're able to look back in those and draw strength from them. So I think that helps me too.
Yeah, big time. Mm-hmm. You nailed it.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, thank God. I didn't know it was a test. I got 100.
For sure. I got an A. But I mean, you covered so many things that I feel super strongly about when it comes to redefining.
Because we're aligned, man. Everything that you say and everything like that. That's why it's always so easy to talk to you. So thank you. I'm glad you said that because I feel the same way, you know, and it's just a process, you know. Our daily, I don't know why I'm getting emotional cam right now. I did a little while ago. Okay. I think I've just been emotional lately. And you know, it's just a process. We just have to allow ourselves, you know, and we're going to have the days where we smoke weed and stare at our fucking phone. And then we're going to go, oh yeah. And then you're like, actually, you know what? Now I tell people that on a podcast and people know I'm not perfect. So yeah, you know, good. Because we're human, having a human experience.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of it is the experience. And it's all just an experiment. All of it, you know,
from
the practices, from the trying different challenges to even social media. That shit's an experiment. We're the guinea pigs for it in real time. Right now, we're running the experiment.
And they're always changing the algorithms and figuring out, you know, what they want to do to us.
Because they're also running experiments on us as we're running the experiment on ourselves.
Yeah.
So if you feel like it's an experiment that's not serving you, let's try some new experiments, you know, so maybe some morning practices, maybe some night practices. And something that I didn't mention is that your morning starts the night before always.
I like that.
It does.
How do you view that?
I view that as like putting my phone on airplane mode before I go to bed. Last night, I didn't. I fucked myself up. Well, right before I go to bed, you know, like normally I'll give myself an hour to 2 hours before I go to bed to have my phone on airplane mode. Yesterday, I was just in a funk and I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But right before I bed, I would put it on airplane mode, woke up, it was on airplane mode. And I just got straight back to the morning practices because I know how much better I feel when I'm tuned in and I'm aligned to who I'm capable of being, especially for like sitting in front of you on this conversation. I didn't want to show up as like what I feel is half a version of myself. And so at night, like I'll check in, I'll do some breath work, I'll do some movement when I'm like really on it. And then I'll set myself up with that glass of water so that right when I wake up, like I'm already good to go. I don't have to make that decision because it was already made for me the night before.
Nice. Yesterday's you made the decision for you.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I mean by the morning starts the night before.
Yeah.
And really like redefining your limitations is just running these new experiments and seeing what works and what doesn't and pushing yourself. And then also having those reference points of like, this is when I survived a lot of discomfortable things, or like, this is how I have evidence that I can be a coach and help people. And you just write all those things down. And then you have that evidence on a sheet of paper as like a symbol of strength of what you're capable of being and how you can move through whatever limitations come your way. I think the last thing I want to talk about before the podcast wraps up is redefining my limitations by shedding my hair that I've been growing for 6 years.
We didn't even talk about your hair yet, which was one of your most recent podcasts. Ours is coming out Thursday, this one. So you just released that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, with Christy Jaber.
Yeah.
Who is such a beautiful soul. I absolutely love her so much.
Did you listen to that one too?
I listened to some of it. I loved your intentionality around your hair cutting. Apparently there's some in there.
Love that.
It's okay. I loved your intentionality around the hair cutting ceremony. Like, I was so blown away by your process and what y'all came up with to cut your hair. Like, that was badass. So, I mean, congrats. It sounds really powerful. And I'm curious how you feel on the heels of it. So,
like, yeah,
coming out of that.
So, just to preface, I initially was going to go to California to work with Seek Discomfort. And we were going to do a video project where the host of the YouTube channel that they were creating was going to go on a slack line to Seek Discomfort for himself, and then a high line to also Seek Discomfort. And then my own idea for how I would convey seeking discomfort is I've been growing my hair out for 6 years and my beard out for like 5.5. So I hadn't had a clean shave and face in 5.5 years. And I just figured my hair had been growing for as long as I've been slacklining. Mm-hmm. And there's so many new things in my life that it feels like I'm ushering in a new chapter. And we identify so much of ourselves with the way that we look, especially in our hair. A lot of our ego and identification is within our hair. And I felt one of the best ways to really usher in stepping into the new and this next chapter in my life was to shed what I was familiar with in the stories that were trapped in my hair.
Yeah.
So the video project ended up falling through. They bought my flight though. So I kept my flight and went to California just to see what happened anyways. But before I did that, I dropped in with Christy Jaubert, who I met in Costa Rica with the Breathe Balance and Fit for Service community. And she's a hairdresser in Dallas. So living in Austin, I figured if there was anybody that was really going to be able to do something with me that was beyond just going to the barbershop and getting my hair shaved, it was going to be Christy. So I brought up the idea to her and then we riffed for a few weeks on what a haircutting ceremony would even look like. And what we ended up coming up with was the haircutting process itself would be 7 braids, each creating the braid one by one. And as Christy was weaving the braid, I would be speaking what I was cultivating in reference to the braid. And each braid represented one of the chakras. So we started with the root chakra and I would say what I was cultivating and calling in and what I was releasing in regards to that chakra. And then when she finished the braid, she would have me inhale the feelings of what I was cultivating, exhale the feelings of what I was releasing. And then at the bottom of the exhale, she would cut the braid. And then we just continued this process going from root to, I think it's sacral, solar plexus, heart, throat, third eye, and then crown. Mm-hmm. And what was really crazy is I put my phone on the voice memos. It was on airplane mode, but I had it just recording as I was speaking because I wanted to go back and transcribe what I was speaking. And I also have an alarm on my phone that goes off at 9 p.m. Just to remind me to put my phone in airplane mode. Mm-hmm. And right as she cut the crown chakra braid and finished it off, my alarm for 9 p.m. went off as she was cutting, like just the very end of the cutting. And then it ended the voice memo. Wow. So yeah, just it was a really powerful, beautiful experience. And then I had this mat that I got when I sat with ayahuasca at 21 in the Amazon. I went to Peru and it was a Shipibo art mat. And a few weeks ago, I had a piece of sage that was burning in my house. I burned just a little bit of it. And then it ended up burning the rest of the 5 inches of sage. Like it went all the way through.
Wow.
And it burnt some on my mat. And then I figured it was time that like I let that mat go. So I wrapped my root chakra braid into it and had a little despacho with that mat and some flowers that I picked up on a walk.
But only the root chakra braid?
Only the root chakra.
Why? What'd you do with the other ones?
So they're in a bag right now and I'm going to donate them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Cause they're 12 inches and like minimum donation length is 10.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. Yeah. I knew you did a despacho ceremony and then y'all came back and did a sound bath and, you did cacao before.
Yeah. So we did breath work, cacao before the intention setting and then the hair cutting ceremony. And then despacho released the ashes from the despacho into this like small creek that was right next to us, which was really convenient to just have the water, wash away the ashes. And then we went back, sat with some rape and some cannabis and then had like 2 hours of sound healing.
That sounds amazing.
It was wild. And then
you're feeling naked at this
Yeah. Time. Yeah. You know, and I still feel a little naked. I'm not entirely.
How long has it been?
It was
a couple weeks.
It'll be 2 weeks on Friday.
Yeah.
So today is Monday, like 10 days, something like that.
Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question on the tail end of it, like it definitely feels different. I feel like I'm stepping deeper into myself. I'm honoring that, you know, I still have the same coping patterns. Those don't go away because I just cut my hair.
Damn it. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, I get to learn through them and express vulnerably about them. And this is the deepest I've been able to talk about them on a podcast. So thank you for this opportunity.
You're so welcome. Thank you for doing it. Showing up.
Of course. Of course. My pleasure. That's what I'm here for. And And yeah, I'm just going to continue to keep showing up and stepping up. And I know my hair is going to grow back and I'll continue to grow.
But it does. It holds a lot of energy and I mean, and a lot of like ego and stories and all that. So, I mean, good for you for just taking the leap and seeing what happens.
Yeah. It was another way to seek discomfort.
Yeah. That's right.
Didn't harm anyone. Mm-mm. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, if you can seek discomfort without harming others.
Yeah. Well, yeah, don't do anything.
Yeah. Others, no need please. For that.
No, there's not. And most likely you're not even going to harm yourself. You're going to grow, mm-hmm. you know, most likely you're going to turn into a newer, better version of yourself. If you just give it a shot.
It feels that way.
It feels that way for sure. So, well, I love you so much. Thank you so much for showing up today.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome.
This.
You're so welcome.
I'm so glad. Will you please share before you go every way that people can find you?
Yeah. So the podcast, The Line to Mastery, it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Wherever.
Other major
all
streaming
those random
platforms.
Ones that people use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm on Facebook. Don't really use that very much. Instagram, I would say, is the best way to connect with me on social media. So @CamNilson. And
I'll have a link to it in the notes.
Yeah, perfect. Mm-hmm. And then if there's any professional athletes that are like really vibing with my mindset, this program that I'm creating is for professional athletes. It's a 90-day transformation program that really helps you dial in your mindset and your connection with spirit.
Good.
So
they just reach out to you for that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we can book a call and see if you're the right fit. And as of right now, those are my offerings.
Good. I think that's incredible. So congratulations. And I'm excited to see your whole life grow and you'd continue to just become better and better version of yourself because there's no end.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no end. Mm-hmm. And because we are so aligned, you will continue to grow and blossom as I do. I'm just so excited to continue this connection and see where
me
it goes
too.
And
me
grows
too.
Into.
Love you so much.
I love you so much. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Much love, everyone. Peace.
Okay, so much thanks to Cam. I absolutely loved sitting down with him. I'm so happy he came in today. Remember, you can find him on Instagram @CamNilson, or you can listen to his podcast, The Line to Mastery. And I want to tack on to one of the things that we talked about, and that was how, you know, toward the end, we were talking about making a list of those things that you can overcome, that you have overcome in your life. Making a list of the things that you have overcome in your life and being able to refer back to that to give you some strength when you're feeling out of your depth or out of your comfort zone or feeling like fearful of the unknown or feeling like I'm not going to survive this. You know what? You do. And if we can just start a little list, I would say in my notes app, I think I'm going to do it. It's just start a little list of things that you've overcome that you can be like, hey, okay, yeah, I got this. And just add to it over time. I think that's a really cool practice that I'm going to put into play. And then the one that this went so well along with the one that I was going to share today that I did read in this book and that I am starting to do. And it is not discounting or downplaying the good things that people tell you about yourself in life. Like if somebody gives you a compliment, like you're amazing, you're such a badass. Write that down in your notes app because these are people you respect. And if they say it, it has to be true, right? So why do we downplay that? I see my friends do it all the time and they'll be like, no, you know, I'm just screwing up, whatever, you know, downplay a compliment that I give. And, you know, then as the compliment giver, you feel a little bit like, wow, does what I say not matter? Because it's true. That's how I see you. And if someone else sees you like that, can you accept it? I know we've talked about accepting compliments before, but this is like a next level practice where you can accept the compliment and then you actually take it to heart. And then you've got a little list that starts to grow and you can refer back to it perhaps. And you can lean into your own self-love and you can go, oh yeah, I am a badass. And I did do a great podcast and I, you know, was there as a good friend. And I am kicking ass as a mom, you know, or whatever it is. people are going to say nicer things, and it's also going to tune you in more to when they do. And you'll remember it, because my brain goes back to the negative stuff. So like all the time. And this is just a way, and maybe even, you know, before you go to sleep at night, if your phone's on, then maybe it's something that you can review, or review in the morning, or add to your, I don't know, daily practices of self-love, which I think is badass. So anyway, so maybe make those lists. And of course, you know, I love a good list. So those are the practices that I think can really elevate us in our own self-love and our own mastery, perhaps. So thank you so much for being here today. I'm so grateful. If you feel called to share it with someone, please, please do. Sign up for the newsletter at my website, amyedwards.com. And I have a link in my newsletters too, or when you sign up for the newsletter, it'll come up. But I do have some freebies on my website that I'm going to be adding to, like meditations and stuff like that. So it's all free. So you can go there and access it. And I'm hoping to do a new meditation series really, really soon. I'm feeling called to that. And of course, thank you to Hot Pie Media and all the wonderful people here. I have the gorgeous Sarah over here today. Thank you, Sarah, and Colton too. And we just have an amazing team here. So I always like to give them a shout out. And what else am I forgetting? Follow me on social media. Yeah, find me at Really Amy Edwards. And always, you know, comment, email me, whatever you want to do. If you have thoughts, I hope to be sharing your thoughts very, very soon on any of these episodes. You can reach me at amy@amyedwards.com. So I think that's it. I think that wraps everything up. Thanks again to our guest today, Cam Nelson. So honored that he got to sit down with us and that he came to sit down with us. And such a beautiful discussion. And thank you for being here and showing up for yourself, because you're a fucking rocking badass that's transforming your life every time you just even consider doing any of these practices, right? We're leveling up. And that's the idea. Spiral up. For sure. All right. Peace and love, health, wealth, light, joy, compassion, beauty, all of it to you and everyone around you. Just radiate that shit everywhere. I know you are. Thank you so much for being here. Till next time.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this show, please rate and review. It totally matters. And I encourage you to spread the love too and share this episode with a friend if you feel called. Find me and my newsletter sign up at amyedwards.com. And you can also connect with me on Instagram at @RealAmyEdwards or in Clubhouse at @AmyEdwards, or write to me. It's amy@amyedwards.com.